B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Congratulations, Tom. 5 total touchdowns, 3 of those by Sony Michel. And yep. This run game was just so unstoppable. What made it so successful today?
It was good. I thought, you know, all the way around, the line played great. And I think we just did a good job keeping them off balance. So it was a good win. 41-28, so glad to win.
You kept them off balance, and that opened up your passing game. And your trusty guy, Julian Edelman, just kind of lit it up out there. And what is it about that consistency that you can rely on game in and game out?
Yeah, Julian had a great game, and we need it. So it's that time of year. You got to play your best. We're 1 of 4 after tonight. And just got to get back to work tomorrow and try to go, win a big game next week.
Well, you mentioned it, your 8th straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead, what can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
I was waiting for you to mention that. Thanks a lot, and good luck. We'll see you next week.
My wife, I love you, and my dad, my sisters, and see you next week. Thank you. Have a good week.
That was the full walk-off. We have just been hearing that one little bite. Everyone thinks we suck. We can't win. But there was the whole walk-off. But when she said, I was waiting for you to say that. Let's just deconstruct that for 1 second. What do you mean you were expecting him to say that?
They talk in the pregame. And did he mention something to Tony Romo or anyone else on that staff prior to the game about that? Nobody believes in us.
Or he said it to her right before they tossed it to her.
Is that like a Johnny Gomes asked me this question?
Bingo. That's exactly the analogy I was going to make with Kenny Romo. Ask me this question. Right.
And again, in the 2013 World Series, he made sure that Kenny Rosenthal called him out. And so did, who was that, Wolfson? He called out Tom basically as well. I was waiting for you to say that because you told me before the interview to ask you that. You know, like, good God.
So look, with regard to this whole thing with Brady, I said this yesterday. If he's got the ass, okay, if Brady's pissed off, good. Great. That's good. Use whatever motivation you can, and I'm not being facetious about that. I think that's what great athletes and great competitors do. Shaughnessy used a great analogy. Did you just call him yesterday?
I missed it.
About, the guy who wouldn't call Muhammad Ali by his Muslim name.
Yeah, what's
my name?
Only
referred to him as Cassius Clay. Ali beat the living snot out of him, and then in the ring kept asking him, what's my name?
He's
kicking the crap out of him. So whatever motivation you want to use, fine. But the whole thing is everybody thinks we suck. So, first of all, it's untrue. But secondly, let's just say that some people did pick them to lose, which some did. And some people did think the Patriots weren't very good. Let's say that were true to the degree Brady was talking. Who does he have to blame for that? What, that's our fault that we dealt the team because they didn't play well this year? That's our fault. Was this a Patriots regular season that met their standard? Did they play as well as they have in other years? Because I'd be willing to bet if you polled 100, relatively neutral Patriots fans, more than half of them, more than half, would say they weren't anywhere near as good this year as they've been in other seasons. So if people had lost faith in the Patriots, whose fault is that? That's ours? For looking at the level of play and saying there's no consistency? You haven't had a good game all year where the offense and defense have played well together in the same game against a good opponent? That's our fault. Like, to me, I look at that and say, sorry. If that's what if you want someone to just pucker up and kiss your ass for 4 months, fine. Go play in Kansas City, go somewhere else. Like, I just can't, I look at that and say, really, what do you expect? 11-5 is okay? That's the standard you've set here?
No. On the face of it, it's ridiculous. But again, it shows you, the fact that he can get that chip on his shoulder after all this time and all that winning, I think is impressive. I do. Because I think it'd be so easy for him just to go the other way. Most guys do.
I don't know. Today it really started to piss me off when I heard it play it again. And I was like, cut me a break with that garbage for crying out loud. You guys didn't play well this year and you know it. So don't give us that crap. Everyone thinks we suck. You doubted it too.
Well, you did kind of suck some of the weeks. You did. All right, back to your phones. It's about to get worse, folks. So we'll try and make it as brief as possible. Go ahead, Carlton.
Greg Bedard is 100% correct about the point spread you need if Tom Brady has the ball with 5 minutes. It's 17. You need more than two scores plus two-point conversions because Andy Reid will turn 5 minutes into 7 minutes if he's defending, and he'll also turn 5 minutes into 3 minutes if he is trying to come back from a deficit. But I got to tell you, I'm getting more comfortable about this game Sunday, guys, because I looked up Tom Brady's record against the Kansas City Chiefs. Other than the 7 minutes in which he tore his ACL and was done, he's 5-3 against the Chiefs since he came into the league, but he's got 7 picks and 6 fumbles in those 8 games, my friends. 13 times he's given the other team the ability to take the ball away from him. So unless Andy Reid is as brain dead as Gus Bradley and plays a super soft zone, I think that after this week we're going to be saying goodbye to Darth Belichick, who blew the Miami game and cost him home field advantage, and hello to Mini B McDaniels.
Okay.
It's a super soft zone.
I don't know if that needs any response. Rob in New Hampshire. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. Hey, I don't know, unless I missed it, I don't think you can underestimate how big it is, really. I was happy after the game. Nobody was hurt in that game, right?
No, So, your phone's average health. Pats are healthy. Except for Gronkowski, which, you know, clearly he's not the same guy, and I think that is injury-related. Other than that, you know, that's as good as Edelman's looked since before the injury and the suspension and all of that. Like, he was a beast. And other than that, you know, I mean, I mentioned this yesterday, too. A big thing with the offensive line, Greg, is they've been relatively healthy. Like, usually, aren't most years, there's swing tackles, and we see Ladon Waddle, and it feels like every year we're talking about the job Dante Scarnecchia has done, putting mix-matching, you know, putting this guy here and that guy there. I feel like the offensive line has been remarkably stable. And Maz looked it up, the whole left side, Andrews, Tooney, and Brown have started all 16 games.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage.
It has been, and, you know, injured reserve. I mean, how many starters have they lost this year? I think zero. I mean, you could make the argument Juwan Bentley.
But across the board, you're saying no. I mean, it's true. Think about it.
Jeremy Hill, if you count him.
I don't.
I mean, I think he was going to help this team, but not a starter.
Running
I mean,
back.
Not with the first round running back.
What's
here.
The diff? Josh Gordon would be the one loss. So they've had really good fortune in terms of that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when you factor in the number of postseason games they've played in the last 3 years because of their runs to the Super Bowl, for that to happen, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Here's Patrick in Medford. Hi, Pat.
Hey, first of all, I'm a huge Bedard fan. Listen to every one of these segments all year, so I wanted to throw that up. But the big thing I wanted to talk about, I think the cold is going to minimize how loud the fans are. Because if it's 0 degree weather, you can't clap without gloves on. You can't be screaming like you normally would. So I don't think it's going to be the same as it was in Denver a couple of years ago. The Patriots had a real difficulty with the crowd noise.
Okay, interesting point. I think it's true.
See, I disagree.
No, you do?
I think the cold can make it louder.
No.
I do, because I think those people look at it and say, yeah, come on in here and play in 10 degree weather. We're good with that.
I agree with the caller.
Me too.
I think that,
me too. I've been to enough Green Bay games and Packer games in Milwaukee and whatnot. It's not as loud when it's freezing. I'm here.
It's kind of weird. I covered the 2007 NFC Championship game, which was, you know, freezing. And
right.
The Packers did not have the same home field advantage. One of the questions I have about this game, and I think it could be a determining factor, is, you know, what is the footing like on that field and how does it affect each team? Because, you know, watching the Chiefs-Colts game, I think some of the struggles that Mahomes had, and not as much luck, but maybe, not unable to be precise with routes. And so, you know, we all know that the Patriots passing game is based on precision. How does the footing affect that? Like, are people going to be where Brady thinks they're going to be? His passes going to be 6 inches off and that's going to affect them?
See, I think the cold could be a factor for a different reason. I think it could slow the game down, and I think that would help the Patriots.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. All right, we'll see. We got 10 questions with Bedard right after these words. I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Love woke up tonight.
All right, 10 questions around the league, 10 minutes. Got to stay on time, so Billy gives us some buzzer options. Go ahead, William.
You know, everyone thinks we suck.
Next. What's this ass going to ask? Excuse me. Sorry. I didn't mean to say the word. I did. I stand by the fact you used to be able to say it long time ago before Howard, you know, before the FTC or the FCC got on Howard and Tipper Gore, all that. You used to be able to say that word.
And you should.
I have an opinion. Do you?
Often not, oddly enough. Next. You're right, Murray. You're right.
I
regret that. F the media. I stand by that. That's it. Okay, hit anyone, William.
Yeah. You know, everyone thinks we suck.
Number 10. Of the 13.
It is ridiculous.
Effing AFC title games. Of the 13 AFC title games the Pats have been on during this run, which one is your favorite?
2004, Patriots 41, Steelers 27.
Why?
Steelers were 15-1. They had beat the Patriots during the regular season. To me, considering opponent, that was the most impressive playoff victory before this one.
Well, that was the greatest Patriots team of all time. And you're saying this was the most impressive playoff victory ever?
Not Super Bowl, but like playoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
You think this was the most impressive playoff win ever over the Chargers?
Since then.
Really?
Considering opponent, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I would...
Dominating.
Okay, I would not agree with that.
I went the first one. And then back to 2001, I mean, that game was, you know, special team scores, Brady gets hurt, Bledsoe gets in there the whole nine yards. That was the face that launched 1,000 ships, as far as I'm concerned.
And if you were lucky to go there, it was like out of nowhere, this perfect 60-degree sunny day in the middle, end of January. It's clearly 0-1.
And when I say the first one...
You got it all wrong. It's 2003 against Indianapolis, the peak Peyton Manning pee-his-pants game, MVP season, comes in, throws four picks. He's completely inept. The QB rating's at like 35.5. Pat's defense makes him look like a complete fool. It was Pat's porn that day. I love that one.
So can I just add one thing? Because you asked AFC Championship game. My favorite playoff win of all time, non-Super Bowl, the Indy game here, 20-3. That was like classic, shut your face, you're not going to score. That, to me, is the one that stands out.
2001, had it all. Next. What's this ass going to ask? Excuse me. Sorry. Number 9, what's your least favorite?
2013 at Denver. The Patriots had no chance. They're throwing to like Austin Collie and Ooman and, you know, all those slappies. It was terrible.
I say 2014 here against Indy,
45-7.
Now, the good news is that game launched a flake game. Okay? So
very like, productive day for
right,
us.
Right, but that was the game itself, though, was a complete total joke.
I am with Greg on this one. It's 2013 at Denver. An outcome as predictable as the Bridgie Celtics against the freight train LeBron and the Cavs. A complete waste of time before it even started.
Okay. How about their home loss to Baltimore that year? That's one football game I did predict correctly.
Wasn't that division?
No,
that's AFC.
Oh, that was AFC Championship.
And I can't remember the year now off the top of my head. That
2012.
Was 2012. Next. F the media. Who was the big winner from divisional weekend from across the league? Number one.
Offense. Top four scoring offense is all advanced.
To me, Sean McVay.
I was looking for an individual, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Sean McVay. Because, again, I was impressed by the Rams. A, last year they get in. They didn't win. There's pressure on them. They're at home. And it would have been easy for him to just, you know, unzip it and throw the ball all over the field. And he lined up and ran over the Cowboys. I say McVay.
You're looking for an individual, so you'll hate this answer. I say football fans. This Final Four, you have the top four offenses in the league this year. It all but guarantees these two games on Sunday will be competitive and entertaining.
Last week. Who was the big winner last week?
Oh, it's Sean McVay.
All right, next. You're right, Murray. You're right. Who was the biggest loser?
Pete Carroll and his cover three defense, because Tom Brady killed it on Sunday. It's over.
Oh, I see. The cover three defense.
Yes. He's now 7-1 against it, 72% completion rate, completion percentage, and 105 rating against that defense. It can't be run anymore. It's done. It's extinct.
Okay, here's what I don't get. Like, I understand your scheme, you believe in it, you run your scheme. Don't you have to take away what the other team does well? And if it means you adjust the scheme or you just, like, is there any place in that Gus Bradley, Pete Carroll cover three for you to do something different to take out a running back that they like to throw to? Like, that's what blows me away. Any scheme should have some flexibility where you can take away what the other team does. Oh, it's just staggering.
Isn't it amazing how many teams in many sports who say, if we just do what, take care of ourselves and do what we do, we'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's, there's more to it than that.
Oh, my God. Who's your biggest loser?
So I went Philip Rivers. I just think, how many kicks at the can are you going to get? You're not going to get that many. It might be over, dude. When you're talking about the list of quarterbacks who've never won a Super Bowl, he might end up being on it near the top behind Marino.
I go with Nick Foles because it looks like the Eagles are now stupidly going to go with Carson Wentz over Foles going forward. He's proven he's a perfect
fit. Hold on. They're stupid to go with Wentz over Foles?
Yeah, because he can't stay healthy. He's Ginger Garoppolo. So they're going to go with him rather than trading his ass, rather than the guy that's actually the perfect fit for their offense that's won a title there and then drag their ass into the playoffs again. So now he's going to go somewhere else and turn into suck Nick Foles, and they'll be stuck with Wentz, who's going to get hurt again.
Can I tell you, I thought Nick Foles sucked in that game on Sunday night?
Yes.
I thought he sucked. There were so many throws that he underthrew. You know, the first interception that got New Orleans back into the game was an underthrow. And that he's solely responsible for that. Was it Ertz? I mean, I can't remember who he was throwing to. He had a step
down the left,
and he underthrows him for the interception. I thought in the second half when they were trying to come back, he was lollipopping balls over guys, under guys, and then on the last drive. So I'll give you this, Murray. He's got, you know, a set.
Balls.
He's got something
huge.
So on that last drive, wouldn't you know it, he started to step into his throws, more line drives. He started moving them. The interception wasn't his fault. So like, I get his competitiveness and his late game thing, but over 60 minutes, the first 55, is he all that special? Nick Foles. No. Next.
I have an opinion. Do you?
Often not, as I like to say. Six. Rank in order the four remaining quarterbacks. Not career achievement, not their Hall of Fame plaque. I'm talking right now how they're playing right now. Rank them in order. Big boy.
Breeze, Mahomes, Brady, Goff.
Third.
Mahomes, Breeze, Brady, Goff.
Third.
Mahomes, Brady, Breeze, Goff.
Second. You got Brady ahead of Breeze?
Yeah, because that first throw of the game was awful. What an underthrow. You idiot. You start the game like that, and then they ended up, you know, turning the ball over. You turn the ball over, and the Eagles go down for a quick seven. You fool.
I mean, if
Breeze hasn't been good down the stretch.
If you had asked me during championship week, before championship weekend, I'd have put Breeze first. But he didn't play great, and Brady did. And Breeze, Brady in the middle there was close.
Okay, tool bag question. Next.
You know, everyone thinks we suck.
Number five, bigger tool bag. Greg, this is a challenge for you. Because I could say, who's the biggest tool bag left in the divisional round? Or the AFC title games and the title game. I know what you're going to say, because you always go Travis Kelce. So here's a bigger tool bag, Kelce or Philip Rivers?
You're talking a Marino fan here. So I have no problem with Philip Rivers. It's definitely Travis Kelce.
Kelce!
I go with Philip Rivers, that overrated fraud. Stop whining and complaining to teammates, referees, anyone within earshot, Christian Tony Romo. Enjoy your overhyped stats and your mostly middling career. You'll make the Hall of Fame, but deep down, we'll all know you never won crap.
Just to clarify, they're both tool bags. The question is not which one is and which one isn't.
No,
Rivers is a tool bag.
Right.
But quarterbacks yell at their players. They do it all the time, including the guy here, by the way, who wanted to undress that Hall of Famer, Tyquan Underwood, a number of years ago in Philadelphia. He can be a tool bag, too, now. But Kelce's the king of the tools.
You don't have a problem with Philip Rivers, sir?
I don't, just because that's always who he's been. It's not like it's out of character for him. That's just who he is. And
a tool.
That's fine. If that's what you think, I just don't have a problem with it.
Next. What's this ass gonna ask? Excuse me. Sorry. Kyler Murray. If you were Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback who's been, you know, in A's. Was he the first pick by the A's?
No. He was in the first round, though.
Okay.
First round pick by the A's.
He go football or baseball. If you were him, what would you do?
I'd play both. I don't care what they say. I'd play both. I'd try to game the system, get money from both sides. And then once I get to that fourth, fifth year, then I'm picking one, because it's a tough choice, because, you know, if he doesn't play football right away, he's not going to get the money there. Like, if he comes back to it.
Could you do, as a quarterback, can you do what Deion Sanders did in helicopter between the baseball and the football game?
Well, it depends on when he's going to get to the major leagues. Like, what's it going to take him? At least 3 years, right? To get to the majors?
I would say so, yeah.
At least.
Football. I'd go football. Now, that's assuming that he's a first-round pick. Because if he's not, that changes the equation. But he can get guaranteed money up front. What did Mayfield get? $20 million guaranteed or something? And I'm not saying he'd be the number one pick. But he's going to get more guaranteed money there than he'd get from the A's.
Go play football. Rather, you know, were you going to go play in the Oakland A's in a market where no one cares, playing these mostly useless games?
Even if he makes it in the majors. he's not going to get money till year four.
Much safer play, right, though. Just hang in there. Just be a major leaguer, and by the time you get to your eighth year, you're crushing what you would have made in football.
What if he can't play?
Well, that's the... Then he goes play... to me, it's just baseball's a safer bet. The one I always go to is Jeff Samardzija, who has never been good. He makes $20 million a year, and if he played football, he would have lasted 4 years and made maybe five or six. But the quarterback's different. You know, a quarterback, you're protected, so maybe he's got a clearer case there. Next, F the media. Here's the question. Back to Nick Foles. Both Nick Foles and Joe Flacco will be free agents this offseason. If you're a team... Well, who would you rather have, and what are good fits for each?
I would rather have Foles just because he can do a little bit more. He might be able to run around a little bit. Flacco can't. He's a statue there. Flacco to Tampa because I think he fits Bruce Arians' scheme really well. Drop back deep, throwing the ball. Foles to Jacksonville because they're idiots and they'll just keep being idiots.
I'd rather have Foles, and to me, Foles should go to Miami. Like, you know, because I think Foles is functional as a quarterback. He's better than Ryan Tannehill. And in that Philly offense, you give him a couple of options, and he can make decisions and deliver the ball there. Flacco to me, Jacksonville. Power running game, run the and throw the ball deep. Perfect.
It's Foles. And he should go to the Giants or the Dolphins. And at this point, Flacco can go to hell.
Okay. Giants, that's a good one. Next. You're right, Murray. You're right. Rank in order the four remaining coaches. Bill, one. Who's two?
Peyton, McVay, Reed.
Same, but Reed over McVay. McVay fourth.
McVay's fourth.
Yes.
It's Bill, Peyton, Reed, McVay.
Yep, that's what I have too.
Why do I... So Peyton's 1-1, so I have to give him that credit, right?
That's well, not I... only that, I'll tell you what Peyton has to me.
Reed is far more consistent. Yeah, Reed's in the playoffs every single year.
Peyton has balls to make a big decision in a big spot. He did it again over the weekend with a fake punt.
Reed doesn't.
Reed doesn't win anything. I'd rather go with McVay, the unknown.
Me I mean, too. Say what you want about Peyton, but onside kick in the Super Bowl and then down 14 zip, fourth and one, fake a punt?
Decade ago. Well, okay, the fake punt was yesterday. I get it. All right, next, last one.
I have an opinion, do you?
Number one, who will be the story coming out of the conference title games? Give me a person. I mean, if you want to give me a unit or a facet of the game, I guess you can, but what will be the story coming out of the conference?
Yeah, it's going to be the twist stunt blitz.
Conference championship games, no. The story.
It's going to be Tom Brady. It's always Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady and the Patriots. Win, they're the story. If they lose, it's a bigger story.
McVay, I think there's a chance the Rams win that game. I mean, it's a 3.5-point spread, right? So it basically a coin flip is what Vegas is telling you. They were there early in the year. They lost 45-35. Like, I don't know. I think to beat them twice is going to be tough. I think it's a good chance McVay is a hero on Monday.
Monday morning, the story will be... Only one quarterback ended up making it to the Super Bowl, Drew Brees.
I don't get it.
There's two old quarterbacks in this weekend. You have two young ones in Goff and Mahomes.
One old quarterback.
I missed the old part.
One Me too.
Old
I think he said one quarterback.
Left it out.
Yeah, I think he said one quarterback.
No, I said old. But
no,
way.
You left it out.
Now, you know, we'll check the tape. Yeah, so either way, there's your 10 questions. It's in the books.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
With second down looming from midfield, Matthew Sletter taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at left. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
All right, pretty innocuous call. Really nothing to sink your teeth into there. Yet Maz wanted to play it again. Why? Why'd you want us to play that?
So I heard it on the midday show today. And again, Brady in victory formation, Matthew Sletter in his customary position, blah, blah, blah. Because Sletter is the guy that lines up behind Brady. In the event that there's a fumble or a bad snap or something, the opposition picks it up. You need someone back there that can run in the open field to make a tackle, right? And Bedard actually made this point a few weeks ago that, you know, he's the kind of guy you'd want to make an open field tackle. Like, oh, I don't know, instead of Gronk in Miami? How about that? Like, that's what struck me. And it popped up this week. This game would be here. It wouldn't be in Kansas City if the coach had put Matthew Sletter back there instead of Gronk. You know, Herman Munster back there defending the goal line, falling all over himself while Kenyon Drake's running down the sideline. So let me get this straight. In the divisional playoff, when you're beating the snot out of the Chargers, you can have Matthew Slater back there to tackle a guy on a play that doesn't matter. But you go to Miami for the Hail Mary, and again, you've got the, you know, the return of the mummy back there down at the goal line while Matthew Slater and Devin McCourty are on the sideline. It just struck me like what a dumbass play that was in Miami. Dumb, dumb, dumb. The AFC Championship would be here this week if it wasn't for that stupid-ass play and decision. Not necessarily in that order.
So that's what Maz heard when he heard the final call. There you go.
Took me back.
Back to your phones with Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Joe and Quincy. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I'm just trying to make it quick here. Hey, I know that a lot of people say that Patriots players suck on purpose. That they can gain an advantage, but I don't think that this is happening, but I do think that we could gain an advantage by people maybe forgetting about Gronk. I know that that he's obviously a dominant force and people like always cover him, but I think that...
Well, let me just stop you. He's down to a catcher game, almost a non-factor in the passing game. Do you think they could spring him on the Chiefs? Do you think that's a possibility this week?
I don't.
I do.
Okay, why don't you, Greg?
Because I still see people taking care of him and, you know, keeping an eye on him. And, you know, at times there were a couple plays in this game where his presence alone made not the guy who was covering him, but somebody else sort of wander over a little bit, and Brady was able to exploit it. So I still think he's on people's minds. I mean, they're not, you know, chucking him off the line of scrimmage and following him with two people down the field anymore, but they are paying attention.
Okay, so but that speaks to how other teams are still looking at him, which tells me that, you know, that they're not dumb. And I don't think the Chiefs will fall for it either. But on the first drive of the game, the Patriots did throw to him down at the goal line. They get that pass interference call.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if the opportunity's there, I still think that they will exploit a mismatch with him if they have one.
Okay, but you said no. You don't think that they are going to spring him on?
No, I said yes. He said no.
Did I mix that up?
Yes. Greg's the one who said, no, I don't think there's a chance of
spring. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're right. Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I think they could spring him on the Chiefs. I think it's entirely possible that Kansas City does what you just did and says they don't really use this guy in the pass game anymore. And then all of a sudden he has 7 for 110 and 2 touchdowns. When you're going against a guy who set a record for the receptions by a tight end, at least until Zach Ertz did.
Okay, there you go. Sorry, I got that wrong. Carolyn in the car. What do you got? You didn't like Carlton's call there, Carolyn?
Hated that call, but this is why I'm calling. I had to listen to Carlton yell yesterday, right? And I got to say, Felger, you keep attacking Brady for saying that he's a fraud by saying no one believes in him. Well, guess what? I'm a homer. I believe in him, but I didn't believe they were going to win like they did last week, and I still question for next week. So I have honesty that I look at the games for what they are and say, guess what, Tom? This is going to be a tough haul for you to win this week. And yet to have Carlton come and scream like he does, and he did yesterday on every other call, how about something positive once for any team that he likes, besides the fact that he just has to tear apart the Patriots?
Yeah, I like him being consistent, Carolyn. I understand. I'm not asking him to change. He fills the role. So is Brady talking about Carlton?
No, like, but I think, but I think after the game this week, if they win, he should talk about Carolyn. Like,
doesn't believe in him.
Nope.
Doesn't believe
Carolyn thinks we suck.
Any game, any sport, some people think you're going to win. Some people think you're going to lose. That's just the way it goes. It's not particular to the Patriots. It's not an anti-Patriot bias. It's not because they hate you, even though some people do. They definitely do. It's not because some people are sick of you, which they definitely are that. It's just that every time, every single game, some people think you're going to win, some people think you're going to lose. That exists in sports. It's not particular to you.
No, I want to keep Brady happy. I'm going to pick the Patriots this week.
But, oh my God, the whininess, Murray. Is it adding up? Catching up to you?
We're only at Tuesday, and it's getting up there. I think we're getting into the red.
So, yes.
Oh, the red. Does that mean you like the Chiefs? No, no, no.
You've sure changed your tune.
You fraud.
Oh, you flip-flop. Where were you last week?
It is. Hi. Is it really fun to follow a team like that? to be so hypersensitive and to wait for someone to say something negative about your team and be like,
don't you feel stupid?
Like, you don't think what I think, Shane. Shane,
oh my God, don't you feel dumb? You idiot.
Like, it's got to be exhausting. And you win. Like, I just don't get that mindset, but boy, did it come back in full force these last couple weeks, Murray. And like I said last week, I actually do kind of enjoy it. I do. I like being right in the middle of it.
Long I don't want to lose my favorite caller, Carlton from Massachusetts.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We were going to prepare and be ready to go, whether you pick us or you don't pick us.
I don't trust this New England Patriots team
because the Chargers are better.
Well, we see it. You know, we see our quarterback's too old.
Yeah, team quarterback, he is the worst.
He doesn't even look. He knows it's open.
We're not good enough on defense.
Patriots have a veteran, smart, but slow defense.
And sacked by Trey Flowers. What a game.
Edelman clearly doesn't look the same.
Julian Edelman, dazzling all day long.
He's not considered a top five quarterback in the league anymore. I was right, no one's been.
Look at the New England Patriots on the road this year. They have not been impressive at all. They've been a really porous road team. I think this is something that spells doom for them.
Why are people hating on Tom Brady? The reason is simply the cheating.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
All aboard! F*** you, Felger and Maz.
Excellent. Hey,
it's just going to get worse between now and Sunday.
It's only going to get worse. All right, we'll wrap it up with calls here with Greg Bedard, unless there's anything on your list here that you haven't gotten to that you wanted to get to today there, Bedard.
I don't think so.
Okay, babe. So then we'll let the callers take you there. We got Brandon in Roxbury. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. So this is only touchdowns in red zone only. So Kansas City's 72%, New England is 60%. 94%. So at home, Kansas City 70.73. New England is 70% at home. Of course, they're horrible on the road, so New England is 45-83.
Hey, Brandon, too many numbers. Let's just say this. KC's a better red zone team than the Patriots. Is that a concern for you?
Sure. I mean, you know, look, I'm still in the same spot as I was last week. I feel more confident that I know what I'm going to get out of the defense. I think they're going to do their job this week. Is, you know, Brady in the offense? Are they going to do their part? I think the Patriots will come up with enough plays to win this game. They'll be much better than they were in the first matchup. They've completely changed. To me, it's about the offensive performance. Brady and those weapons on the road, in the cold, all that stuff. How are they going to do?
Still more confidence in the defense. That's interesting. Ryan in Worcester. Go ahead, Ryan.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I actually kind of don't blame Brady. Like, listen, I was a Bledsoe fan, and I actually thought that we should have traded Brady instead of Garoppolo. But comparing his numbers this year to Peyton Manning's MVP season of 2008, they're better. You know, I'm the same age as Brady. I do construction. I've done it for 20 years. I don't know how the guy continues to get up and does what he does after all his accomplishments. Where does he find the drive? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his competitiveness is impressive, and the chip on his shoulder, impressive. I've talked about that for two straight days. So what that he has better numbers than Peyton Manning in 2008? The game's different.
You can't compare passing numbers to last season,
right?
Let alone a decade ago. You just can't.
I mean, that to me, that's the obvious, you know, the thing to attack on that call. Like, you can't compare it. It's just not the same anymore.
Alan, straight to your point, please.
Hello.
Hi, Alan, you're on.
Hi. Let me ask you a question. You can't compare last year. I'm curious. In his whole career, has he had a game as bad as Andrew Luck had this weekend? In his whole career, one game? I don't think so. And by the way, Maz, you make a prediction. Listen to my call on Friday. You remember it? Four times I said, blowout, 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 blowout. Four times. I guess I'm on a roll making predictions in your station.
Okay, babe. And I guess too bad we weren't rolling on it because I don't remember it. Has Brady ever had a playoff game as bad as Andrew Luck's?
I mean, that AFC Championship game that they won against the Ravens in 2011, he was brutal.
He was also horrendous here against at San Diego in 06.
So, I mean, I'm just...
The 2009 playoff game, he had a 49 rating.
It takes me 1 second to Google. I'm trying to get it for you because he's definitely had games that bad. There was a run there where he was, you know, after that 04 championship, from 04 to maybe 14, he was a 500 playoff quarterback. I think he was under a 500 playoff quarterback. So, yes, there was a stretch. So, at Denver, 2015 AFC title game, he had a quarterback rating of 56.4. So, I don't know what Lux was in that
78.8.
game.
78.8.
Yeah, Brady, in that game they won against the Ravens, his rating was 57.5. He went for 239 yards, two picks.
In the, I'm sorry, I was reading at the time, so if hosts aren't listening, that's why, because I can't read and listen at the same time.
Sorry, you're excused. You get a waiver.
My brain's not big enough. Did you mention the Baltimore AFC title game win? The Billy Cundiff, is that what you just mentioned?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, sorry. I keep pairing Baltimore. The 2010 Baltimore loss had a quarterback rating of 49.1. That was the game where Flacco threw 10 passes and won. You mentioned the San Diego game. The San Diego game, that AFC title game in 07 when they were great, he had a 66 quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
The 2006 divisional San Diego game had a quarterback rating of 57.6 with three interceptions. So, yeah, he's had them. It's been a while, though. I'll tell you, you know, the Houston game, the home Houston win in the divisional round, quarterback rating of 68.6, two interceptions. He was not good in that ballgame.
18 of 38.
18 of 38, that's a 47% completion percentage, two interceptions, quarterback rating of 68.6.
In fact, I just checked, Brady has had 12 games with a rating lower than Luck had over the weekend.
So, Alan, has Brady ever had a game as bad? We just found 12, and it took us like 90 seconds to find 12 games.
12.
That he had worse than Andrew Luck. 12. How many?
12.
12.
A dozen.
But since that Houston game, he's been pretty good. here is the last six playoff games after that Houston game. Quarterback rating 127.5, 95.2, 102.5, 108.4, 115.4, 106.5. So since then, he's kind of straightened it out.
Nine touchdowns, no picks.
Okay, Ken in New Hampshire, what do you got, Ken?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about, and I might butcher his name, Skarnecki, the offensive line coach.
It's close enough.
How has he done this year with the O-line compared to past years? I've heard you guys say that he's past years he's done pretty well with getting them to where they need to be. Yeah. I'll hang up and hear you guys on the radio.
Okay, babe. Like, usually I think we bring them up because they've had injuries or some sucky players, yep, or they've had to make a lot of different moves,
Jordan,
and a lot of
Debbie
switching around. And Skarnecki is always a story to me because we always get to this point of the year and say, how the hell does he do it with that group?
Chicken salad out of chicken poop.
Right. But I think this year, the line has been together, healthy, and productive from week one, and we've barely mentioned him because he hasn't had to really correct anything.
Cannon and Mason have missed a combined five games. Other than that, the Patriots have been out there together all year.
That's tremendous.
On the offensive line. I mean, when you really weigh it out, you could say it's probably not a stretch. They've been the best unit on the team all year.
I'd say so. The most consistent unit on the team all year. Absolutely.
I mean, the secondary's been up and down. The linebacking core blows.
Best positional group on the
defensive
team.
Defensive line's been gashed on the interior. The skill positions have been, you know, inconsistent. Brady's been inconsistent. To me, it's the line. The old line's been the one thing they could lean on.
Bedard, final thoughts, Pats, Chiefs.
Well, one thing I want to say about the offensive line is that, you know, look, this is a group that they've drafted, raised. They've all been extended, I think, except for Tooney. And, you know, Brown is obviously up this year. You know, so he's been building this. This is why this unit is good. It's not just, you know, plugging in Jordan Devey and these guys. So there's talent there for them to work with, and they've been great largely for the whole season.
Just to let you know that I'm fair, Greg, your guy Tooney has had a good year.
Well, maybe you give Skarnecki credit for that.
He's had a good year.
Chicken salad out of chicken poop.
Seriously, Tooney's had a good year.
Yes, he has.
Okay, Greg.
And he's going to make some money.
Final thoughts, Pats, Chiefs.
I don't know who I'm going to pick. I mean, I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a toss-up. To me, I think Andy Reid is the biggest X factor in this. They need to be up by three scores going into the fourth quarter for me to feel comfortable about them winning.
The Reid buffer is 21 points? Or 17.
17 points for me.
So 16 is not enough.
Nope. It's two scores and two-point conversions. Nope. And then I'll get all confused and, yeah.
All right, Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
All right, see you guys.
See you next Tuesday, win or lose. All right, so we've been six straight hours of Patriots football. We've been six straight hours. All of us feel compelled to spend some time on the Boston Celtics and what is going on with that team. Because I've said this before, and it's not the case now because now we're in the conference final round. But if not for I think this is one of the biggest stories in sports. I think it's the biggest story in Boston sports. Again, the Pats are where they are, so it's now second. But what is happening to this team? I think they are on the precipice of it being over. Like, writing them off this year. Like, that's it. They're not going to get it done. That they've dug themselves too big a hole. They can't figure it out. I mean, and this is a team, everyone, and I mean everyone, inked, had it in ink, is playing the Warriors in the finals. And they can't get out of their own way. They're a mess. They are a mess with internal strife and infighting and factions in the locker room. This is happening. And it's stunning. Boy, talk about like the Patriots, like all the Patriots fans are, oh, don't you feel stupid? Boy, would I like to roll back the tape of all the things you folks said about the Celtics going into this year. That'd be a fun thing. That'd be fun. Maybe we should do that. You go back and pull up all the talk show stuff on NBC Sports Boston or here on the radio. Hear all the commentators talking about what the Celtics are going to do this year. And, you know, I hear all the fans and the callers and hear about what the Celtics are going to do. That'd be interesting. Like, why don't we do that? You know, why don't we do that? That'd be fun. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's how I guess the sports fans here like to operate. Like, go back and see what you said and then hold it against you, right? So
I'm in.
Yeah, let's go do that.
I'll take that deep dive.
Because, boy, did you people, wow. Whoo. Ooh, I'd love to go back and hear just exactly how you put it, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.